Our Europe correspondent today is Jim Heintz. He's a Russia correspondent for Associated Press, or AP. He spent 24 years in Moscow before relocating to Estonia last year. And, of course, as you'll have heard in the news, a predictable outcome to Russia's election, with President Vladimir Putin looking set for another term. Jim, thanks very much for being with us. Truly appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
The initial results are pretty much not a surprise, shall we say. Jim, what do we know officially from Russia's presidential election?
Well, in a sense, there are both not a surprise and a surprise, with about 60% of the polling stations counted. Vladimir Putin has, according to the Central Election Commission, won about 87% of the vote. The election was not seen as a really competitive contest, and Putin was always expected to win, but the margin, the huge number of votes that he has reportedly received, is somewhat of a surprise. In previous elections, he has not come close to that. I think the last election, which was 6 years ago, he got 71% of the vote. So an 87% figure just underlines his absolute dominion over Russian politics.
How has this election unfolded over the last days, Jim?
It has unfolded in some ways almost invisibly. There was very little visible campaigning going on. There were some televised debates, but the candidates themselves did not appear. They just had surrogates debating. The whole thing was extremely low key. The voting, which began on Friday in polling stations, was marked by quite a number of incidents of vandalism, of people reportedly pouring green liquid into the ballot boxes. There was one report of a woman setting a polling booth on fire. There was a firebombing. All of this was seen as potentially, this vandalism was seen as potentially expressions of protest. Today, on Sunday, in many major cities in Russia, quite a number of people showed up to get in line at noon at the polling stations. This was apparently a reflection of a strategy that was devised by Alexei Navalny, the main Russian opposition leader who died in prison last month. Shortly before he died, Navalny suggested that people show up at the polling places at noon, not because they could make a difference in the vote, but just because their numbers showing up quietly could show authorities that there is a sizable amount of resistance to the Kremlin and to Putin.
Obviously, this is against the backdrop of the recent death of the main opposition figure to President Putin, being the aforementioned Navalny. And in some ways, and I appreciate you weren't there standing next to them at the queues, but in some ways, does this very much hang over the last few days, Jim?
I don't think it really hangs over the elections as a whole. Navalny and the opposition in general had been extremely marginalized over the past several years. Navalny himself had been in prison for 3 years. The opposition was very much emasculated by various measures, such as declaring the group's foreign agents, declaring them undesirable organizations. Independent media have been muzzled. So I don't think the death of Navalny per se really hung over the elections, but it sort of underlined many people's dissatisfaction with the situation.
Some potential candidates, I understand, were barred from running. Let's just talk about that situation. Who ran, who didn't, who was banned? I don't need names, Jim, but could you give us an indication?
Okay. The other three candidates who were on the ballot are all representatives of parties that are represented in the parliament. All of these parties are more or less aligned with the Kremlin. Probably the most obvious party with any sort of opposition orientation would be the Communist Party. They had a candidate on the ballot. There were two other politicians who were opposed to the war in Ukraine who tried to get on the ballot, but they were both rejected because authorities said that they did not get the proper number of legitimate signatures in the nominating positions to get them on the ballot.
All right. Look, the other matter, of course, Jim, as I mentioned, you've been reporting for some quarter of a century, most of it in Moscow. And the other backdrop here is that this now looks like President Putin in power through till 2030. He has, for most of the years that you have reported on the country, either been president or prime minister. Could you give us, I guess, some reflections on what you have seen with respect to Putin, President Putin, over the course of those 25 years? Jim, just how much have things shifted?
Things have shifted a great deal in some senses. I recall when I first came to Moscow, which was in 1999. For instance, you could watch television, and there were news magazine shows that genuinely had a genuine range of opinion on them, including harsh criticism of the Kremlin and of Putin. That gradually was taken away as the television channels came under pressure and came under control of the state. The opposition forces, both the liberal opposition and conservative opposition, once existed in a more robust fashion than they do now, where they had at least minor representation in the parliament. They have been marginalized to the point of disappearing. Some of the other independent actors, such as independent opposition actors, such as Navalny, he was not affiliated with the party, but he had a very substantial grassroots organization, which little by little, in a number of consecutive steps, was put under pressure and then marginalized and then forced out of the country and effectively criminalized. So there has been there's been a very long process over the past 20 odd years of
Have we still got the connection to Jim there, or have we dropped out on Zoom? Jim Heintz is a Russia correspondent for AP, now living in Estonia, but before that, 24 years in Moscow. Looks like we might have lost that connection, however.